Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
I really believe that God wants to do something this morning in our lives and in our hearts. And you know, we've been going through Romans, and we started off with Pastor Al, and then, you know, Pastor John Pierce took us through sin. That was a deep, thick dive that week. And then Mitchie took us through salvation last week. And I'm so lucky, I get the easy week. Thank you, Pastor Al, who's not here today. But I get to talk about what life is like in Christ. Now we have salvation. Ah, amen. The good news. And so I feel very privileged to bring the word today. But I really believe God wants to move in our hearts. And I don't want to preach for long. We're going to open the altar and just let the Lord do what he wants to do. But why don't we just posture our hearts for a moment? Just close your eyes. Lift your hands and just let his Holy Spirit begin to minister to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, move, move in this house today. Move in our hearts, move in our lives. Increase in this place. Oh, increase in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for every guest in this room. Oh, that they would just experience you right now as a real and a true God. Oh, Father, that you would just speak to their hearts and come near. We thank you. You're not distant. You're not far, but you're close and you're near. Oh, to every person in this room, to every situation and every circumstance. Oh, Holy Spirit, we thank you for your great empowerment today. Oh, to fill our lives anew and afresh. Oh, that we wouldn't look to man, we wouldn't look to the news, we wouldn't look to circumstance, but we look to you, the author and perfecter of our faith. Oh, the beginning and the end, the Prince of Peace. Oh, the great I Am, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, God. We look to you. We fix our eyes on you. Jesus, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, and we thank you today that you knock on hearts and you draw people in to relationship with you. Because what is life without you? Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for freedom in the house today. Oh, free and free indeed. Oh, that it was for freedom that you set us free. That there is no other motive, that there is no other agenda, but it's just for freedom that you set us free. Lord, that we thank you that chains would break today. Oh, that we walk out lighter today. Oh, that your freedom comes into our life. We thank you, Lord. Be with us today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's give him some praise. Wonderful. Beautiful. We're going to have a seat, church. And welcome to everyone online. So great you can be with us today. Get your Bibles open to Romans. We're going to look at a few scriptures here today. So we're looking at life in Christ. Psalm 103, one of my favorite psalms, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits." Well, I want to remind you today of the benefits of being in Christ. The good news of the gospel. Oh, that when we say yes to Jesus and yes to salvation, not only are we saved and we go to heaven and have an eternity with him, but there is a life here on earth in Christ that he wants you to live. And he has benefits for your life. benefits for each and every single one of you. And so I want to look at three quick things today, and then we're just going to see what happens. Let the Lord do what he wants to do. The first thing that the Lord has done for us through salvation, and that it means for us now, is that we have freedom from sin. And not just freedom from sin, but freedom from the power of sin over your life. If you've got your Bibles, go to Romans 6, verse 7. It says this, "For one who has died has been set free from sin." Amen. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ being raised from the dead will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passion. Verse 14, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Oh, amen. Oh, that we have freedom in Christ, church. Oh, that he wants to come and set you free, and free indeed. And I said this scripture in my prayer before, but in Galatians 5, it says, for freedom that Christ has set us free. You know, God has no other agenda and no other motive. He's not like, I'll set you free if you do this, 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 and this. No, there's no agenda. It's for freedom that he has set you free. You know, I have three children and they're all very, very different. I have my 9-year-old who's the just beautiful, listen to everything I say, just gorgeous. Love him. I love all my children, by the way, but he in particular is special. You don't have favorites. I know he's not a favorite. But if I asked him in the morning, can you just go and brush your teeth? Or could you go and make the bed? Straight away, up, happy, love to, Mum. It's like never a problem. Goes and brushes his teeth, makes his bed, just like this sweet little soul. If I ask my second child to go and brush his teeth or to make his bed, this is what he does, the master negotiator. I will brush my teeth if you give me a dollar. It's always about money. It's always about that dollar for the canteen at school. I never had a canteen at school. But these kids, I don't know what they've got. They've got these canteens. Anyway, moving on. If I asked him to make his bed in the morning, he'd be like, oh, I will if you give me a lunch order. Buy me some new Match Attack soccer cards. You know, if you do these things for me, he's got this list of negotiation and requests. And he's like, I'll do it if you do all these things. Well, I want to tell you, God is not like that. It's not like you come to God and say, God, I need some freedom in this area. He's like, all right, I'll do it. But if you do this, 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 and this. No, it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. He just wants to set you free. There is no other agenda. There is no other motive. He wants you to be free from sin and the power that it has entangled us in. And so I know you're asking me this question, that if we have been freed from sin, when we accept Christ, we know he took it on the cross. We know he took all our sin, all our shame, so that we can now live in freedom. If he did that and I am saved, why do I keep on sinning? Anyone? No, just me. Am I the only one that sins in this place? Leave me hanging. Why do I keep on sinning if he set me free from it and the power of it? It's very simple, actually. The reason that we do is because we choose to. Before we were slaves to sin, before it's like we had no choice, we were bound to it. It was our master. But the moment Jesus took it on the cross, we got a new master. We got the master Jesus. And we no longer are bound and have to be bound by that sin. We can now choose to live in freedom, but it is a choice. It's a choice that you make on a daily decision. Will you live in the flesh and be bound to sin? Or do you live in the spirit, in the freedom of God that he has for you? You know, I am an Enneagram 2. Anyone into the Enneagrams? It's a personality test. And I am the helper, which when I was reading about it is very enlightening and very frightening. Well, something I learned about myself is that I love to say yes. I just want to help people. As I'm saying this, you might be like, oh yeah, that's me too. I just want to help. Every situation, I'm like, yes, please, I'll do it for you. Yes, I'll, you know, even if it's detrimental to my own life, I'm like, yes, I'll stay up to midnight and I'll get up at 6 a.m. and I'll do whatever I can to help you and I'll try squeeze it in. And all I want to do is help. And I have a problem saying no. It is one of the struggles of my life. So don't come and ask me to do something today. I'm just revealing my vulnerability to you. But if there's one thing that I want to empower us as a church to say no to, and to myself, it is no to sin and the entanglement that that brings. That each day we can wake up and say no to that thing. Do you know that you have the power to do that? That you can make the choice and decision to say no to sin and yes to life in Christ. You know, Paul wrote Romans, which to me just makes this book so much more alive. I don't know if you know Paul's story or what he was like before finding Christ, but he used to be called Saul, and he was a murderer of Christians. He lived a wild, sinful, crazy life. Probably someone you'd think would never get saved, just way too far for God to get to him. But he had a radical encounter with Jesus, and Jesus turned his life around, and he went from Saul to Paul. But when he was Saul, as I said, he would murder Christians. In fact, in Acts, it says that he approved the execution of Stephen, the first martyr there ever was. He approved the stoning of Stephen. He had all this sin and stuff that he had walked through. And that's why, to me, this book is even more alive, because I can imagine him, as he's even writing this, just prophesying it over his own life, knowing that I know that I've done some stuff. I know that I've been entangled in some sin. But now in Romans 8:1, where he writes, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit has set me free. I can imagine him writing that, speaking to himself. Because there are some times when we feel that temptation to go back. We feel the enemy, how he wants to come and rob the joy that you found in Christ. He wants to rob the freedom that you found in Christ. He wants to come and take you back to a place of sin. And I'm sure there were times when Paul felt that shame and guilt coming up from his past. But then he stands and declares in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free. Can I empower you today to say no to the enemy and yes to life in Christ? To stand on Romans 8:1 and say, I know I've done some things. I know I've got a past. I know I may have been entangled in sin. Even now, there may be an addiction that you are struggling. Maybe there is a sin that is entangling you. You have the power and the choice to stand each day and say, now, therefore, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, because I have been set free. Oh, you're set free, church. Oh, you're set free by the blood of Jesus. Oh, you have freedom in your life that you have access to. All you need to do is say no to sin and yes to Jesus and the freedom that you have in him. Now that we have salvation, what does this mean for us? We have freedom from sin and the power of it. The second thing is that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you know we are never meant to do this life alone? In fact, you can't. I've heard people say to me before, I'm just trying to live a life for God. I'm just trying to do it. I'm trying to do it in my own strength. And I just feel like saying, good luck. That's not going to do it. Because it's not by our trying and it's not by our works. It's by the grace of God and it's by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Oh, each day and each morning, if we could just wake up, like Aaron was saying so beautifully, and let the Holy Spirit into our lives. Oh, let the empowerment of the Holy Spirit come. You'll find the walking out of your discipleship with Christ. There'll be an ease upon it. Oh, there'll be an ease when you have to say no to sin and yes to freedom. That can't be done without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Without Him. In Romans 8, 6 to 9, it says, "For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, you church, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells within you." Oh, you're in the Spirit. I read this great quote this week by Warren. It says, "It is futile for us to try and serve God without the power of the Holy Spirit. Talent, training, and experience cannot take the place of the power of the Spirit. Religion can reform a person's life, but it can never transform him. Only the Holy Spirit can transform our lives. We need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, you have access to it when He went to the cross and He took it all for us. We have freedom from sin. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit. And finally, what does salvation mean for us? It means that we walk a different way. It changes my actions. Now we are free and have no condemnation. Now we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now we live different. Romans 12:1, a great passage, says this, "I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect." I love the word in here, present. That we present our lives to Christ. And that this is not just a once-off moment of like coming one time and presenting your life one time and then, oh, I'm good, that's it. It's a daily thing where we keep coming back to Jesus and we keep coming back to the altar of God and saying, "Here's my life. Oh, I present it to you as a sacrifice. Do what you want, Lord. Have my life. I want to live different. I don't want to live anxious anymore. I want to live in peace. Oh, I don't want to live in fear anymore. I want to live in faith. I don't want to live hopeless and disappointed. I want to live in the hope of Christ that anchors my soul." That we live a different way, but it comes through a presenting of your life to Jesus. I remember my salvation moment where I gave my heart to Jesus. I grew up in a Christian home and very, very grateful for that foundation and the ability to just come to church week in, week out. And I knew a lot about God, but I hadn't really experienced Him or encountered Him or really given my life to Him. And I remember our family moved here to C3 when I was 13 years old. We were sitting up the back for our first service and Pastor Phil Pringle preached the word of God. And he started to do his altar call to ask if anyone would love to invite Jesus into their life. Oh man, I got sweaty and hot in that moment. Menopause hit early. It was all going on. I was like, oh, feeling all like, why do I want to wiggle away? I feel hot, I feel sweaty, I feel my heart is just racing so much right now. My head and my heart started to have a battle. My heart was like, this is you. That God ordained this moment right now for you to receive Jesus, for you to invite Him into your life. But my head was saying, what will people think? What people are going to look at me? And you know, that's not even true. That's just the devil trying to stop you from finding Christ. And I was having this battle in my head and I knew it was me. I knew God was drawing me in for myself to make this decision to follow Him. And I remember putting up my hand and accepting Christ into my life. After that, I came down on an altar call And Pastor Phil Pringle prayed for me, and I don't know if he even knows this story. But I had grown up with severe asthma my whole life. I was in and out of hospital with collapsed lungs and pneumonia and just a constant journey with my asthma. And I came down on that altar call to receive Jesus. That was my only motive. But in that moment, I got radically healed from asthma. The Lord set me free from the bondages that the enemy had put on my life. Now, would it have been great if that was it? And I'm like, I'm done. Oh, that's it now. I presented my life to God. Off I go. I had my encounter. But that's not how it works. We have these moments, and hear me, these moments are sacred and precious and significant, and they stay with you for the rest of your life. And you're going to have an opportunity to have that moment in a minute. But then it is a daily walking out of presenting my life continually back to God. Like each day, even this morning, I was down looking at the headland, watching the sun coming up, presenting my life to God. Like, God, I don't actually love preaching, as a shock horror to you all, but my life is yours, Jesus. You just take it. You do what you want. You have my life. I don't want to live in my old body anymore. That Jesus took it on the cross so I can live in freedom, so I can live empowered by the Holy Spirit, and so I can walk a different way. I can live in the peace and the joy and the love that He has for me and He has for you. Oh, what He's done for us. It's more than just a one moment of salvation, of saying, I don't want to go to hell. Save me, God. It's more than that. It's a moment of freedom for your life, a moment of empowerment by the Holy Spirit, and a moment of walking differently with Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's close our eyes this morning. I'll ask the band to come. Just while you've got your eyes closed, we do want to open up the altar this morning and pray for some people. But I do want to give the opportunity to anyone in this room who needs Jesus to come back to Him today. Oh, just like I was in this room many years ago, and I felt nervous. That was actually God knocking on my heart, saying it's time to come to Jesus. It's time to come back. That we're never meant to do this journey on our own. We're never meant to live this life without Him. That He has a purpose and a plan for your life greater than you could ever imagine. That He ordained it before you were even born. He created you. He knows you. And He wants relationship with you. It's a free gift. It's like someone has paid for you and your family to go to Disneyland. They've paid the flights. They've paid for the accommodation. They've paid for the tickets. They've given it all to you. They took the cost. But as I said before, you can still choose whether you get on that plane and you go to Disneyland. You can still choose right now whether you accept Christ or not. But He's paid the price for you so that you can have relationship with Him. That will never change. That will always be there and always a free gift. And He wants to meet with you today. I believe there's people in this room that have never met Christ, and you need to come back to Him today for the first time. All that I'm going to ask you to do, I'm going to count to three, and you just, as I count to three, I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand as just a sign for me so I know who I'm praying for today. And we're going to pray a prayer together that invites Christ into your life. Maybe there's some of you in this room and you once did know God. Maybe you grew up in a Catholic church, you were christened. Maybe you've had some sort of God experience, but you know you're not walking with Him. You know you feel far. Maybe you were once all in and you've backslidden and you need to come back today. This is your moment. He knew you would be here and He's calling you back into relationship with Him today. Or maybe you're sitting here and you're just not sure. You don't know if you're saved or not. Be sure today. Let assurance come into your heart knowing that you are saved, that you are free, that there is no condemnation in Jesus Christ. So if that's you, you need him in this room, you feel far away, with every eye closed, no one looking around. You need him in your life. You don't want to do it alone anymore. You're far and you need to come back. You need assurance in your heart. I'm going to count to three. I'm going to ask you to lift your hand. One, two, three. Just lift your hand. Let me pray a prayer with you today that invites him into your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. You need him. Oh, it's just a simple prayer and everything changes. If that's you, just lift your hand and I'll pray a prayer with you today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's say this prayer together. Dear God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for what you did on that cross, taking all my sin, all my shame, all my regret, and giving me a life of freedom. I thank you. Today, I am saved. Amen. Can we stand to our feet, church? The band's going to play. We're going to worship. We've got a couple minutes. And I would just love to open up the altar. If you need freedom in this place, I would love you to come down. We'd love to pray with you for freedom today. If you just need a fresh empowerment of the Holy Spirit, I'd love you to come on the altar and receive that empowerment today. Or maybe you need to just present your life to God again. God, here's my life. Take it. Oh, do what you will with it, Lord. Then I want to live a life, a different life. Oh, after you. Then I want to invite you to come as well as we begin to worship. And just let the Lord begin to do a work in your heart. So let's sing. Oh, let's worship. And if that's you, why don't you just begin to come to the altar? Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.